truth of my soul. I have a spiritual immune system against fraudulent love. The greatest chess move I play is going within. This is what puts me on game.
Peace and blessings, family. Thank you. Welcome to another episode of the Revolution is Black Love podcast. This is our final show of the year. Y'all know how we do. We always bring the fire. And what a year it has been as we get ready to go into 2025. Today's show is very important in considering recent elections and all the recent events that have occurred. And of course, we are dropping this on Christmas Day. Yes, we have interrupted some of y'all Christmases, and that's important. So today we're going to be hearing from our very special guest. We have our regular social political commentator who has been with us, rocking with us since we started the show, Grandmother Walks on Water, who continues to teach us. And to join the roundtable with her will be Baba Bill Gooden, a longtime Baltimore activist, also one of the co-founders of Black Men Unifying Black Men, and also one of the co-founders of the National Black Unity News. So we are glad they're going to be joining us. Family, I'm going to give you just a little bit, just some news. Before we go into our show, we're going to take a little musical break, but just a little bit of news hits. We know with the recent elections of Donald Trump that he is asking for Liz Cheney to be jailed. And, of course, the Republicans did their recent report, and they are saying that they want her charged. This should be interesting. Also, we know the Daniel Penny case, the death of Jordan Neely. Neely died from this chokehold. That case was he was found not guilty. We know a few days later he was invited by the Trump administration, soon to be, to attend a football game, U.S. Navy football game. He attended it. At that same game was Governor Wes Moore and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, both African-American men. These are just some of the things that are occurring. Also, a judge recently granted Derek Chauvin's lawyers, one of the ones who was accused of killing George Floyd, granted them to be able to do an autopsy on George Floyd's heart, to take tissue from that. They want to prove that he died of heart, some type of heart condition. Also, Walmart recently shut down its five-year, $100 million DEI program, which was highlighting over 50% of people, Black, Indigenous, people of color, products on their shelf. They have shut that down. Also, one of the recent Republican congressmen are wanting the D.C. Black Lives Matter clause that they want that dismantled. They are submitting that to the House. So, folks, this is just a few of the news clips. I also want to mention just for today, books that we're going to be referencing is you all should look this up, Blood and Politics, The History of the White Nationalist Movement from the Margins to the Mainstream by Leonard Zeskind. He's of European descent. Also, we're going to be referencing, as I mentioned, one of our guests that's joining is Baba Bill Gooden. He is the editor, but he's also the author of the book America's on Fire and Crumbling. So we're going to jump in. We're going to tap in. First, we're going to take just a little musical break, and we're going to jump in, and we're going to join our guests, and we're going to hear what they have to say. All right, family, give us a minute, and we'll be back.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. We at war. Boom, 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 boom. We at war with terrorism. Racism, but most of all, we at war with ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. The Midwest is young and restless, but restless might snatch your necklace, and next these might jack your Lexus. Somebody tell these who Kanye West is. I walk through the valley of the shadow where death is. Top floor, the view alone will leave you breathless. Try to catch it, it's kinda hard getting choked by the Texas. Yeah, yeah, and I check the method. They be asking us questions, harassing, arrest us, saying we eat pieces of like you for breakfast, huh? Y'all eat pieces of what's the basis? We ain't going nowhere but got suits and cases. A trunk full of coke, rental car from Avis. My mama used to say only Jesus could save us. Well, mama, I know I act the fool, but I'll be gone to November. I got packs to move. I hope
peace and family. Blessings, my diaspora family. Thank you. Again, welcome to our final show of the year. This is the Revolution is Black Love podcast. And today we are discussing recent events. We're doing political analysis. We have our special guest on with us, Grandmother Walks on Water. You with us, Grandmother? You there?
I am, Jalisco family. Glad to be here again.
I know that's right. And we have also another special guest at the round table, Mr. Bill Gooden, longtime Baltimore activist, protester, editor, author. Are you with us, Dr. Bill?
Yes, I am. And just let me say good evening to everyone, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, family. So we're gonna jump right in. Y'all recent thoughts. Now I'm going to start with you, Baba Bill, on the election. Then we're going to go into what this means for Black people across folks in my diaspora family. We're going to kind of be honing in on us in the America, but doesn't mean we're not going to overlap on what's going on the whole diaspora. But Baba Bill, just your thoughts with this election, what it represents, what's it mean? Then I'm going to go over the grandmother walks on water. Go ahead, Baba Bill.
Well, when you say what it represents, let me just say this, and that's, you know, first and foremost for me, I just think it was very distasteful, and I think it was just a surge of and a demonstration of white power. I think that, you know, most people that would want to be honest, if you like Trump or whatever, I mean, the man didn't deserve to be able to have the opportunity to run for president after you tried to, you was responsible for inciting a riot trying to overthrow the government, you know, as well as 34 felonies and some sexual harassment and I mean, just a number of things. So, you know, for me, it was just a demonstration of white power. I don't think that Donald Trump should have had an opportunity to run for office, period.
Okay. All right, Baba Bill. Also, folks, I want to mention again, Baba Bill is the author of America's on Fire and Criminal, but also he was recently on the Carl Nelson Show discussing a similar topic. Grandmother, over to you. What's your thoughts, analysis, was represented to you?
Well, when he was president last time, I got a kick out of what a fool he was. Because America has always had a propaganda machine running, making herself look like the moral authority of the planet. She's always got her mouth wrapped around what other people are doing. And when he became president, it pulled the cover off of America. Because he was just making every dumb decision, every stupid, every everything. And I was getting a kick out of seeing America looking like a fool. So now we go to this election. I believe they never intended for Kamala to win. They threw the fight. I saw Biden act like he couldn't talk. And then as soon as Kamala lost the run, all of a sudden he was back cognizant again. Telling people we have to, you know, go forward and, you know, we're going to put our energy behind the new president. I'm like, what have you look at this? So they intentionally threw the fight. They wasted Black women's time. They wasted our people's time. They never intended for her to win. It was all smoke and mirrors. So I think that Biden, Democrats and the Republicans got together and decided to throw her in there to distract us. And they all decided that he's what they want. Because his Trump represents what America really is. Americans are liars and criminals. They are hypocrites. They are people that do everything they're not supposed to do and then pretend to be something that they're not. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm thrilled that he's the president.
You thrilled, Grandma?
I'm thrilled that he's the president because our people have been drinking the Kool-Aid for too long. We've been acting like the Democrats are our friends and the Republicans are not. They're all the same. And so the most interesting part about this is how much energy Black women put behind Kamala. And when she didn't win, Black women said, oh, all right then, I'm going to drink my water and mind my business. We should have been minding our business.
Let me pull you in a little bit, Grandmother. Bobby, I want to go to you. Do you have any thoughts on what Grandmother's saying? I also want to refer to your book, but go ahead, Baba Bill.
Well, the only thing I want to say about that is this. I mean, I don't think, you know, none of us on here is surprised in terms of, you know, how corrupt America has always been, how corrupt it is. But I think that, you know, when we talking about Donald Trump, I mean, you know, for me, I'm just saying that when we lower the bar that low, that somebody like that could become president, then I think that is a disrespect for the whole country. You made mention in terms of Donald Trump taking Daniel Penny, I think that's his name, to the Navy Army game. You know, so to me, only thing Donald Trump and his crew did was say, listen, here's another slap in the face to Black America. Right. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you know, on what merits would you even want to take that man to the game with you, other than to say that, listen, you know, he killed a Black man, so for us, he's a hero, and we got to take him to a game to honor him and to show him off. So, you know, for me, again, you know, it's not about how corrupt America is, how the moral dignity it has. It's just the fact that when we could allow a person like Donald Trump, I mean, the first time, but then come back around to be president. And I'm saying that is a disgrace for this entire country, not just for Black people. I mean, even though white people, you know, it's a white surge, it's all about white power. But I'm saying in the end game, you know, when we look in terms of who this man is, his behavior and everything else, I think it's a disgrace.
Mm-hmm. You harken back to what grandmother said the first time, just to watch all the different decisions, his behaviors. But I wanted to ask you both some of the things I had cited in some of the different latest news, and some of the things that are occurring, just some of the decisions that's fallen out of, like a lot of these things that had been created, different programs and activities came out of what was inspired when George Floyd was killed. Yeah, a lot of programming. A lot of protests. And so now we see some of these news items like the DEI program, Walmart is shutting down. The Republican Congress, he wants to dismantle. He wants in D.C., the Black Lives Matter, he wants that dismantled. He wants that just paved over. The George Floyd lawyers, they now have been granted to do an autopsy on George Floyd's heart to take tissue. What's your thoughts on just all the different activities now? Some people say rollback, some people say fallback. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you want me to go first, or you want grandmother to go first?
No, you go first.
Well, you know, again, you know, like I said, when you just look in terms of everything. I mean, everything this here man represent, right? So none of that's not surprising in terms of what they trying to do. People talked about, even though I didn't read the 2025 project in its entirety, I skimmed through some of it, and people talked about some of the things they wanted to do. So, you know, when you hear this here man say, hey, listen, you know, the people that on January 6, 2020, that stormed the Capitol, then I'm going to pardon them. I mean, you know, the man is showing us and telling you exactly who he is. So I don't think that nothing that they attempt to do should surprise none of us, right? You know, I think for us, then it should just be that, hey, you know, we just need to see that we need to be able to organize on lots of different levels at this particular time, because I think that we're getting ready to see some stuff in this country that a whole lot of us never thought that we would see.
Interesting. Grandmother. Mm-hmm.
What's the question?
The different all the things that have fallen out since the election, the rolling back. Now they want to, first they was not going to arrest the protesters, charge, and now they bring up these old charges, protesters during the Black Lives Matter, all the things that were started during George Floyd. They wanted to erase the Black Lives Matter Plaza. They have stopped the DEI programs. They're falling back on all of that. What's your thoughts? And where does that mean for Black people? I think Black people thought they had friends. Remember John Henry Clark said, you have no friends. But anyway, go ahead.
Muhammad also said we don't have any friends.
Yes.
There's no need for us to stay in a dream world, thinking that we have a place in the Anglo-Saxon man's world. even with women, black women are mad at Anglo women as well, because they're saying, you know, you were supposed to vote with us. But no, they voted with their men.
That was over 50%. They said white women voted for Donald Trump, which is interesting. I think black women didn't expect that.
No. I expected it because the white woman is controlled by her man. She never had no independence.
Mm.
All right. Native women, before Anglo-Saxons came here and colonized us, Native women controlled all of their own money, their own property. You couldn't take a Native woman's property and give it to nobody. In Africa, when you marry a woman, you buy her a farm, you buy her a business, because she's not your child. That's a gift in the marriage, because she's financially independent of you. Anglo-Saxon women have never had any financial independence. They are like children under their husband, so they don't even know how to vote in their best interest. So they cannot be friends with us, because they're children.
Mm-hmm.
So,
girl, they cannot be friends with us.
No, they cannot. We grown women, they're kids. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that black women were able to see who they really are and what side of the fence they always going to put their energy on. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that we are looking at them disrespecting us in our face. You see, we have a tendency to ignore and overlook what they are doing. We have a tendency to make excuses for them. Mm. We have a tendency to believe that we can praise them out of that behavior. None of that is true. And it will have to begin, it'll have to be the harshest possible environment to make us wake up.
Mm.
I'm as happy as I can be.
Mm-hmm. I can hear it in your voice.
I'm happy as I can be.
We can hear it.
Because what I want is for us to collectively put our money together and separate from these beastly creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough money. We have more money than some small countries collectively. But our money is leaving the black community 5 times faster than it leaves the Asian or the Anglo-Saxon community. And watching Black Friday, watching Walmart be empty on Black Friday, I went the next day to pick up some cat food. And I was clapping my hands. It was nobody in there.
I noticed that too. A lot of people, we talked about that. Friday did not get the praise, the recognition that it always has, the response.
They're still selling stuff online and calling it Black Friday. It's Christmas in a few days. Black Friday is supposed to be over for Thanksgiving. But because they didn't make their numbers, and black women are the ones doing that. Black women are angry. But they did not get what they wanted. And they have decided to take their hands off the wheel and let the car go off the cliff.
Interesting. Baba Bill, as Grandma was speaking, she's talking about black women and the support and just the impact of black women in your book, America's on Fire and Crumbling. You have several chapters, and some of them are sounding the alarm to religious leaders, the alarm to politicians, but also you have sounding the alarm to the black woman. Can you speak to why you included that chapter? Why that was important?
Well, first let me say this, you know, because I always say, you know, when we talk about our condition, first of all, is that, you know, we have to come from the premise that our entire life we've been lied to. Right. You know, when you're growing up and you go to church, then, you know, you went to church and during my dating, you had a white Jesus hanging up. You know, when we go to school, then, you know, your parents think that they're doing the right thing by taking you to school. But it's not no system that we control. It's a system that they control. So, you know, so when we talk about black women, you know, again, I just think that, you know, we have to honor the black women in terms of that for most of us, if we will be honest, then the black woman has pretty much been the backbone that has gotten us to this here point, because she was allowed to be able to have a little bit more freedom on some levels than the black man, right? So, you know, the black woman has been our strength, right? You know, but I think that in the end, until we see the need in terms of, you know, so when we're talking about unification, we're talking about creating a government within itself, government, right? Even when we're talking about the money that we have, the reality is that most of the money that we have, then we're still getting our money from these same people that we're talking about that's oppressing us, right? So, you know, we have to create that system that we could pay ourselves, right? So, you know, so I think that until the black woman and the black man really find a type of compromise and type of unity that we have to find between ourselves, that we have to be more family structure, right? That we have to make sure that we stay together, that we have to see the need that in order for any of us to survive, then we have to be together so all of us could survive. We have to stop thinking in terms of individualism, and we have to think more collectively in terms of tribalism, right? So, I mean, that, I think that's the only way that we got to make it. And I think that, again, you know, the black woman has always been the backbone, and she's going to continue to be the backbone until black men can organize themselves. Because even when we talk about our community, we say it's our community based upon what? The percentage of black people that live in the community. But what do we own in the community that we claim to belong to us? We own hardly nothing, right? So it's really not our community that we claim. We just claim it because the majority of us live in it, right? So again, I just think that the black woman and the black man have to come to a table. You know, we have to have more discussions. We have to figure out what is our recipe in terms of going forward, and what do we really need to do to survive and be able to raise decent families within its system, to cut out a system within its system, because a lot of us is not ready to leave this system. This system needs to be demolished and restarted. But a lot of us is not ready to just pull up and leave here. So what are we going to do to rebuild it?
All right. Y'all going in. They ready. Okay. Woo. Yeah, spay it up. Okay. Let me catch up. Grandmother, you know, talk to us often about exactly what Bob Bill's saying, the importance of money, how many black towns was in this U.S. of A., the amount of money that we once had that circulated, we built up, and Bob Bill's bringing out how the man and black woman got to connect in the economic dollar. How I got to say, grandmother, your thoughts. Ooh, y'all moving quickly. Go ahead.
In 1865, we were 80% illiterate. Within the 40 years, we were almost 80% literate. We were the founding ethnic group in this country. In 1901, we were the most literate people in the United States. The school system was started to teach poor, illiterate Anglo-Saxons how to operate machinery when the industrial age came. So we have already shown ourselves that we don't need nothing from these people. In 1901, we had 1,200 fully incorporated towns all across America, from West Coast to East Coast, from North to South. But all of us didn't go north when we escaped. We went everywhere. Some of us got on boats and went to the Caribbean. We went all the way to California. We went everywhere. So we have the capacity within ourselves because of our melanin, because we are nine ether beings. We are not like these primates. We are different from them. They not like us. So we have the capacity to focus at an accelerated rate. Now, the downside of that is that our melanin also makes us, if we involve ourselves in low vibration, like alcohol and drugs, we have a harder time recovering from that because of our melanin. So the first thing that's important to us, the reason we had all these successful towns is because we educated our own children. It's not possible for us to recover when the devil has a hold of our children for 12 years. Our children's time is being wasted. Our children's intellect is being wasted. When my son was in middle school, these Anglo-Saxon women called me to the school every 5 minutes complaining about my son. And when I didn't listen to nothing they were saying, they say to me, he can't come back unless you put him on Ritalin. And I said to them, I don't even have aspirin in my house. That's not the kind of house I run. All right, I got an herbal environment. So I can't give my son no unknown drugs. Then they say, well, he can't come back. And I said, give me the transcript. I said, look at these women. These women don't like you. They don't want you to succeed in life. Go clean your locker out. We ain't coming back here no more.
Wow.
So that's the commitment we got to have to our children. We got to be like, what's the story in the Bible where Moses' mother put him in a boat?
In the basket
and sent him up the Nile to protect her son from Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to be willing to do. Mm. And I don't have no teaching degree. I was a music major in college. But I was sure that I could teach my children. Because my mother ain't got no high school diploma. And I was hooking school all the time going back home. And my mother taught me herself. She gave me work on Monday and said, Friday, you better have my work or else.
I know that's right.
And Friday, I had her work or else. So because my mother taught me with no high school diploma, I knew good well I could teach my kids because I've been to college. And so the thing that must be done is that we must come out from under Satan. Now, the Bible was saying, where are we going to go? We ain't got to go nowhere. All we got to do is meet each other in secret and decide we're going to buy some land together like them people in Georgia.
Okay. I'm going to pull you in. I'm going to pull you in, Grandma. Y'all going to surpass family. Okay. We're going to take a little, before we take this little musical, we're going to take a little musical interlude. First of all, y'all know Grandma Walks on Water is the mother of global indigenous artist Mumu Fresh, a.k.a. Mamuna Youssef. So she's going to take us with a little musical break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss what should Black people of African descent, how should we be living going forward? Grandmother began to touch on it. How should we be living these next 4 years? How should we be living? How should we be doing things differently? Grandmother Walks on Water and Baba Bill Gooden are going to tell us that in the next part of our show, the latter half. All right, folks, Mumu Fresh, she's going to give us a musical interlude, and we'll be back, family.
Greens and the mac and cheese.
Let's eat at the table.
Welcome back to the Revolution is Black Love podcast. Of course, that was Mamuna Yousef, a.k.a. Mumu Fresh, daughter of our guest we have on today, Grandmother Walks on Water. Let's Eat, from her album, The Healing. Welcome to the sweet land of fuckery. One of her lines, Mumu will always be coming with it, okay? And so as we go into this latter half, and as we move in very quickly, I guess are ready to go in. Baba Bill, I want to go over to you. As Grandmother ended before we took this musical break, she was talking about taking back the land, coming together, our economic base. In your book, I'm looking in here, you says that the old style of politics must be destroyed and the new leadership can no longer be afraid to address issues and offer solutions that would truly offer benefit for the masses. Your thoughts going forward, the next 4 years, Baba Bill, on what Black people can begin to do. You talk about organizing on all levels, coming together, the Black man and woman, about what unity means. Your thoughts, Baba Bill.
Well, definitely, we have to organize on all levels. I mean, you know, first of all, we have to stay prayed up, right? And you know, I'm not a Bible toter. I don't, you know, necessarily subscribe to the Bible, because I always say nobody was here when the Creator created the world, so nobody don't know the truth. So, you know, the Bible can tell you whatever it want to tell you, right? I just think that we have to look at our situation, right? We have to analyze ourselves. We have to analyze not just our past. We have to analyze the time that we currently living in. So even when we talking about the political thing, then, you know, no matter what kind of system you live in, you're going to have some sort of government. But, you know, for this government to work in the benefit of Black people, then this particular government have to be crushed and restarted so that we can have some equity and some fairness in the system. So just putting Black people in positions don't mean a damn thing if we just uphold a system that's already in place, right? So, you know, when I say we need to get new leadership, then let's take it on a local level. You know, if we saying let's start a independent party, we had to be able to get 4 or 5 people in City Hall at the same time. Otherwise, if you go in there by yourself, then you still don't have no power because everybody else is against you, right? So when I said we have to organize on all levels, and whatever your talents is, because all of us not good with money, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, those that's good with money, then that need to be where they organize, and they need to be bringing people to that level. Those who say, look, I want to grow food, right? Because we need to be able to feed ourselves. Then they need to be organized on them levels. Because the problem is this for me, Tomiko, is that, you know, we come together, we debate in terms of which way we need to be going, but we're not going nowhere because we're constantly debating, right? So find the people that have your interest, right? So, you know, people that have an interest in terms of having a farm and growing food and raising cattle or whatever they're doing, then they need to be organizing them people. The ones that's concerned about education and educating our children, educating our people, they need to be organizing on that level. Those of us who are concerned about the political future and how government should be working, then we should be organizing on that on them levels. And then at some point, then we should have a big tent that we could bring all of us together. And we don't have to debate in terms of which way we're going, because we already know we're going, because the people that got the expertise in them particular fields is organizing them areas. And I think that's the way that we need to be moving towards the future.
All right, now, I want to tell our diaspora audience, if you join us again, this is the Revolution Black Love podcast. Today's show is via an ode to Mumu Fresh, the sweet land of fuckery. The reason I wanted to have the two guests on we have on today is I didn't want any talking heads. I didn't want no PhDs. Didn't want no passes. I wanted two folks, our elders, who really are from the people, of the people, and to the people. Right, and they're gonna speak truth straight up. I wanted Baba Bill to introduce yourself to the audience as far as some of the work, the programs, the organizations you do, and then I wanted Grandmother Walks on Water. I know we know who you are, but to speak to some of the work you do, the organizing you do, and what you started. Go ahead, Baba Bill, for our diaspora audience.
Well, you know, first, I've been in Baltimore since 92. I'm 72 years old. I've been active for over 50 years of my life, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, since I've been here in Baltimore, you know, we had started a group called Unity for Action, me and a brother named Eric Easton, who passed in 2005. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically we was more political. I guess after Eric passed, we kind of disbanded that. And over the last 10 years, then I've been a part of Black Man Unifying Black Man, been a part of the National Unity newspaper and the Arts Social Club, right? And, you know, so in reference to Black Man Unifying Black Man, our whole mission is the fact that then we need to bring Black men together, right? Because we need an opportunity to meet each other, to have discussions amongst ourselves, you know, to educate each other. And our belief is that, you know, until Black man is organized, then we really never change the trajectory of our community. Because, you know, we can't say that we are the protectors, but we can't protect, right? So how can you protect if you're not organized?
And Baba Bill, you also do the breakfast and honor the war too? Mention that.
Well, we do the breakfast part in terms of just bringing Black men together on a monthly basis. And the Black Man's Awards program is that, you know, a lot of times you have brothers out here brothers and sisters, but I'm talking about brothers. But you have brothers out here that's doing things that's never going to be recognized because people that's in power ain't trying to recognize people that they don't consider that's not in power. Right. So we have to recognize one another. You know what I'm saying? We can't wait for people who consider themselves in power, in a position of status, to be the ones who recognize us, because it's not going to happen like that. So we made the commitment that we need to recognize brothers that's out there doing the work, you know, irregardless of how the system see them, but it's in terms of how we see them and knowing that they're doing the work. So we need to recognize ourselves.
How long have y'all been doing the breakfast, is Baba Bill? How many years?
We've been doing it for 10 years, and then we've been doing the National Unity newspaper for about 6 years, and it's a quarterly newspaper.
And how long y'all been doing the Black Men's Honors Award? How many years?
We've been doing that now going on 5 years.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Beautiful. Grandmother Walks on Water, please, your works and what you have done, please tell us the diaspora.
Well, I started working with Mom Rashida Furman Bay, and I started doing female rites of passage in the 90s. And we worked with teenage girls. We solicited money from Planned Parenthood. We told the girls, we don't believe in birth control. We believe in self-control. I said, so once a year, the Planned Parenthood people going to come and sit, listen to what they say, but don't do nothing they say, and don't answer none of their questions. Just let them come on in here and give us money and get them up out of here. And so we got the city to give us a vacant lot near where the rites of passage was. And we had the boys' rites of passage clear a lot, you know, of all the debris and glass. And then the girls, we told them, you come back on Monday, put those fake nails off because we're getting ready to get into the earth. And it was important for us to teach the girls how to grow food, how to cook food, and how to feed their family. Because the biggest problem we have in America is that we're allowing our enemies to feed us. And so we are sick, and we are raising children cannot cook. And the only way a society can thrive is if the mother is at home. The mother can't be gone, because who's going to raise the children? Random daycares, random strangers? No, that's not an intelligent society. So we ran the rites of passage, and we got the girls when they were 11, and we graduated them out when they were 19. And we didn't lose any girls. They all graduated from high school. Nobody got pregnant, because we talked about the importance of making good decisions. They're going to be tried, boys are going to say what boys need to say because boys are builder beings. They are hardwired to increase their self. But you got to tell them, you ain't got no job.
And grandmother, let me ask you, what did you and Sister Rashida turn that into what?
Oh, so then we did write the passage, and then we created a nonprofit called Womb Work.
Mm-hmm, which is legendary in Baltimore. Go ahead.
Yes, and it's almost 30 years old.
Wow.
We noticed that our children were being put out of school.
Mm.
So we went to the school system and said, and instead of putting them out, if you can't handle them, send them to us. And so we started a summer work program connected with the school system and the city of Baltimore so that the children could work with us and learn theater production. So we took the children's stories and we turned them into scripts. And every year we put on a performance at a big theater in Baltimore in front of 300 people from the community and let them see how our children feel, what their anxieties are, what their problems are, how they see their life in America. And so we started getting them work. Anytime a movie came to Baltimore, we got them small parts on the movie scene. We taught them how to develop backdrops and how to develop costuming. And we did what you call guerrilla theater. So we started Womb Work to protect our children from America. And then we created a theater company called New World Art Ensemble.
I want to pull you in a little bit,
Revolutionary
Theater. I want to pull you in a little, because also you are considered indigenous. You deal with sound.
Yes.
You deal with maternal health. Speak to us about that.
So I come from a Choctaw background. My mother and grandmother are Mississippi Choctaw.
Mm.
And so when Americans say, you know, go back to Africa, I'm not going nowhere.
Mm.
I was here before you got here. I'm part of the Olmec Empire. The tribe I come from walked here from Mexico before y'all was even thought of, before y'all could stand up. So you don't tell me to go anywhere. I'm going to tell you to go back because you're an immigrant. I'm not. My relatives below the border, they're not immigrants. California, New Mexico, and Colorado, that is part of Mexico. So they got everything twisted, and they got us twisted in our identification. So for us, we know that the earth is our mother. We know that everything that we have and need comes from her. We can house ourselves with what she grows. We can feed ourselves and we can heal ourselves. And so we have an organization called Mountain Eagle Place where people come down to Virginia and we teach them to be compatible with the earth again.
Mm-hmm.
I teach women the importance of breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
I teach them the importance of making herbal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I teach them the importance of taking care of their own children and their own family, their own husbands.
Mm.
Because until we become self-autonomous, we'll stay on the hamster wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have nothing good coming from these people. These people are afraid of us.
Mm.
They know the possibility of a nine ether God-like being. They're not the same as us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no possible way for us to live in companionship with them. In the law of physical science, two opposite things can't occupy the same space at the same time. And the Bible says you got to love one and hate the other.
Mm-hmm.
So if we love light and righteousness and who created us, how are we going to love the devil at the same time?
Both of with you, Grandmother Watson, and Baba Bill, the work you are doing, and I wanted to purposely have y'all, I wanted to do that because sometimes you hear folks saying we don't. I wanted you all to introduce and speak to the work you're doing, because in the work that you all have done for decades is part of our solutions. You know what I'm saying? It's part of our solution, and it's been amazing, and I'm honored to know you both. The impact, Baba Bill, you working with the men, the boys. Grandma Watson Water, you intentionally working with us, women, your daughters. I want to start with you, Bob Bill, and I'm going to go to grandmother. What do you want black men to be doing going forward? the next 4 years? What should they be doing? How should they be doing their family as fathers, as husbands, as sons? What do you want to see them doing?
Well, first and foremost, I just want a black man to be a man first, right?
Come on now.
And, you know,
the mic.
And then, you know, I mean, based upon that, then, you know, you have to, step up and, you know, be responsible to your obligations. I mean, if you got children, I mean, if you and the mom together or not, then, you know, if you got children, then you have to try to make sure that you taking care of your children, that you're part of your children's life, that you're an example for them. An example that they would want to follow, or at least you the example that trying to put them into the right pathway. So that's first. Then secondly, again, you know, I believe that we have to just continue to organize on with the different talents that we have, because we got different talents, right? You know what I'm saying? And you know, so I mean, we are not going to do the same thing, right? Yeah. So, you know, we need to use our talents, right? And we need to organize around our talents, you know, because like I said to you before, personally for me, right? You know, I mean, I think that we always have to be optimists. We always have to talk about, you know, a better way. But then, you know, we have to acknowledge, you know, just like a lot of times you hear people say, well, all the progress we made. Well, it depends on how you measure progress, right? So when I look at us and I see all of us that's in prison, how we kill each other, you know what I'm saying? Then I can't measure that. It's progress, right? Mm-hmm. So some people want to measure progress based upon their house, how much money that they have, the jobs they have. But I'm saying in terms of the collective, then I don't see the progress that a lot of people talk about, because we're just not in the same physical conditions or the mental conditions that we used to be in. But in a lot of respects, we're in worse shape. See, I believe this here, Tomiko. I believe, you know, and I said this before, you know, when we say to our children, you know, when we see our children going down what we consider the wrong path, we say, look, if you keep going down that path, you're going to get killed, or you're going to go to prison, or something's going to happen. But we don't say that in terms of this here country, right? But we have to, you know, we have to expect the same thing for this here country. And the best opportunity that we have in this here country is that it have to crash, it have to crumble, it have to be a civil war, it had to be a revolution, because we never gonna have equal footing in this country until this country is demolished, right? So I think that we just have to organize on every level that we can, and we have to prepare for what is to come, because a lot of us have no idea in terms of what's coming, right? So those of us who wants to store food, store water, you know, then look, you may have to be the store for the rest of us, right? Mm-hmm. You know, those who, you know, those who say, listen, they learn to live off the land, right? So we have emergency. If all of a sudden this country would be attacked and we had to live out in the woods, then how many of us could survive out there? So those who know how to survive out there, then they're going to be very important to us then, because we don't have to go to them. We may not go to them now because we don't think we need them. But when that time comes, we're going to have to go to them. That's why I keep saying everybody have to organize on the talents that you have, because everybody is not going to do the same thing, and we have to accept that, right? So what I try not to do is this. I try not to get in debates and arguments with people in terms of which way right and which way wrong, because I don't know if it's a wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Not when we're trying to get to the goal line, but we have different strategies in terms of how we're trying to get there.
Thank you, Bob Bill. You said a lot of good points that we often talk about. Grandmother, you've talked about storing food, being a man, taking care of your household, your responsibility, those that take care of the land, taking care of your children. There's another point you had said, very important, being prepared. Grandmother, your thoughts. What do you want to see women doing as far as us collectively coming together? Very good point, Barbara Bill. Go ahead, Grandmother. Interesting.
Well, yesterday I started the first volume of my teaching classes. So I ran a class yesterday. to teach women how to make fire cider. Fire cider is made from oranges, lemons, limes, garlic, onions, rosemary, oregano, thyme, hibiscus flowers. So I taught them yesterday how to put all these things in a sterilized jar and then put apple cider vinegar in there. You're going to shake this every day for 4 weeks. And then you're going to strain it out and keep it in the fridge to make your children and your husband's immune system strong.
Okay.
Next month, I'm teaching them how to make homemade cough syrup.
Okay.
The month after that, I'm teaching them how to make salve. You can scrape, cut, eczema, whatever you got. So
beautiful.
For me, our women have to learn how to take care of their family.
Yeah. Okay.
Because our men cannot fight the war and take care of the family. Our men have a specific job to do.
Mm.
They got to be the front line. They have the fence around the flowers. We got to make everything feel good for them. So they go out and bust somebody's head open to the white meat for us.
Mm.
It's important that we get our children out of school.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump said he was going to dismantle the school system, I started clapping and dancing.
Yeah, interesting.
Because the last thing we need is to have our children sitting up in some schools with these Anglo-Saxon demons thinking in their mind, nigga this and nigga that. Our children can feel that.
And since COVID, it's been a growing homeschool movement too, grandmother.
We all have to.
People, yeah, yeah.
And if we homeschool our children or have we come together as a community, as a neighborhood, and we create a school system, our kids ain't going to prison.
And you know what? Just to interject, grandmother, I just read the news article in Tallahassee, Florida. It had an article, hundreds of students are giving up their Saturdays to learn Black history. In Tallahassee, Florida, sisters got together, got 400 churches to sign a pledge. There are hundreds of teenage students and elementary students going on Saturday to the museum and community centers across Tallahassee, learning Black history, learning Black culture.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Hmm.
My grandson had to do, you have to do some community service to get out of high school, right?
Hmm.
And so my daughter went to the African American Museum in D.C. and asked them if they had a program that my grandson could go in to get his hour. They said no. You know what my grandson had to go and do his hours at? The Holocaust Museum. Because we don't have nothing in place to protect our children and to cultivate their minds.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop acting like we're on a plantation begging for mercy. Oh, Master, please, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. That right there has to stop. In 2025 and forward, we need to stop acting like children.
Mm-hmm.
Begging a government who despises us to take care of us.
Mm-hmm. You say no more begging, grandmother. No more asking permission.
No more begging.
Mm-hmm.
What you better do is get out of my face before I do something to you and make you sorry you met me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to educate our own children.
Yeah.
No cap. Full stop. We have to get our children out of that school system.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to protect our children and teach our children their own culture.
Mm-hmm.
And make our children be able to dream and imagine themselves flying a spaceship. We have to give our children the future that we see for them. What does Malcolm say? If they don't treat you right, they ain't going to teach you right.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that you can send your kids to your enemies and leave them there for 12 years, that has to stop. We have to have food in our neighborhoods. We can no longer allow ourselves to live in food deserts.
Yes, come
we
on.
We have to have fresh food.
Wow.
Women got to be at home raising their kids.
Yeah.
So you have got to figure out with some other mamas what you can do for money from home.
Mm-hmm.
We have to support each other. When I was raising my children, and me and my husband we had a collective community that we lived with, you know, like all of us were vegetarians and all of us were Muslim. And so if I wanted to go out with my husband, you know, on a date, one of my sister friends would breastfeed my child so I could go out with my husband. Her and her husband wanted to go out. I breastfeed her children because we all had the same diet. I ain't going to let nobody who eats pigs and cows and cheese breastfeed my kids.
Mm. Wow.
So we have to develop a clean lifestyle.
Mm. Ooh, that's deep. Grandmother's deep. Ooh.
Eating pigs and cows is for white people.
Mm-hmm.
That's their culture. Eating bread and cheese and pigs and cows, that's their business. That's not for the chosen. That's not for God's people. So we have to begin to live godly. We have to reject Satan and everything Satan taught us. Mm. His food, his religion, his liquor, his pornography. We have to reject that. Because as long as we got one foot in and one foot out, we ain't going nowhere.
I want to, this has been powerful shows. We begin to wrap it up and bring it to close. Y'all move so fast. We got right to it. But some of the stuff, yeah, it's powerful. Thank y'all so much. I'm just giving me chills listening to both of y'all. But some of the things, folks, you know, going forward, our diaspora family, the next 4 years, we should be growing our own food. That's non-negotiable. We should be owning our own food. Those ones, as Baba Bill said, whoever the experts are, they should show themselves, be able to, and teach us how to grow our food, or we go to the person, we own our food systems. We have to be educating our own children. They have already mentioned the administration, they're going to be tearing apart the education system. One sister, this regular sister in the hood, she was like, good. She said, my children ain't learned nothing anyway. And she said, well, my grandchild, she said, I'm beginning to teach him myself. This is a regular sister that said this. She understood this. You know, she said, my children didn't learn. She said, I have a second chance to teach my grandchildren. I'm going to homeschool them. We should be educating them. We should be organizing. We should be supporting Black business, opening Black business, giving our money to each other. These are some of the things we should be doing, particularly the next 4 years going forward. But we must do this. We must do this. Wow. Baba Bill and Grandmother, it's been a lot of information shared in a very short time. I wanted to ask y'all, do y'all have any activities, anything coming up in y'all organization, any activities that our folks could know about, any ways that they could reach you all? Because I've been hearing this show, my thought is they may want to contact you all, be in contact with you or whatever you're a part of to get more information. Grandmother.
So let Baba Bill go on because I'm going to look for the flyer.
Okay, Baba Bill. You want
to I will send you the flyer. I mean, what we got coming up immediately is we have the Martin Luther King's breakfast coming up.
Okay.
I think it's January 20th, either the 18th, but I'll send you that flyer. But I would like to just close with this, because I think there's a lot of good things been said, and I'm not in disagreement with nothing been said. Like I said, I'm on two levels, you know, that the system have to, the system certainly have to crumble in order to be rebuilt, right? But then at the same time, we have to work our way through on the levels that we are, right? Because it's just like homeschooling. Well, homeschooling is good for the ones that like to homeschool their children, right? But at the same time, we still pay into this here government. So we have to expect something, and we have to demand something from this government that we live in until we can change this here government to be the type of government that we want it to be. I mean, because, you know, we can't let them off scot-free, and they owe us something. You know what I'm saying? No matter how bad the education system is, then we don't want children out here that if their parents not able to homeschool them, or they not able to send them to a neighborhood to homeschool them, then we have to use what's available to us. So I think that we have to kind of walk on both sides of the lines until this system could be dismantled and restarted.
I think we speak to Bob Bill, we can do a combination. You know, like I mentioned, example in Florida, you know, the students are going to regular school, but they have started Saturday schools, basically. So the parents are sending them to regular schools, but then on Saturday school, someone has started a program. Someone has opened Saturday school, and this sister has gone through and got 400 churches to pledge and the community centers. This sister did this. And so you have hundreds of teenagers now who are going to Saturday school. So I think part of the system has to be dismantled, has to fall, but if it's not there, what do we have to replace it with? And I think that's what you're speaking to.
Absolutely.
his grandmother speaking to, is that as this system is falling, which it is, which is prophesied in Revelation, we are seeing that, we're seeing that played out right now. We should be building up the system, the world that we want to see, that we want to live in. We could do that right now. So as it fall, what, you can't, you don't have that no more? Oh, here you go, right over there. There you go. My mom Rashida created that. Bob Bill got that. Chippy Farmer, his farmer is right over there. The grocery store is a black one right over there. So he said, oh, okay, I got somewhere to go. It's something to replace it. And I think this is, I think this is where we are. I think that's the point. We have to build up and we have to know where these networks of systems are. Go ahead, grandmother. Very interesting. Go ahead, grandmother. Mm-hmm. And then we can close it out. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We have to think in terms of revolution. Even though we're paying taxes, they're not going to give us nothing for our tax money. They're stealing our money and giving us dog shit in exchange for our money. So we have to take our money and do something else with it. Mm-hmm. And we have to garner people in the community because it's easy for us to say, like what we did was me and Mama Sheeta started and then Mama Yvette came in and then Mama Kay came in. Mm-hmm. So once we got started, but you see, the other thing is that all of us were Muslim. So we were already community minded. We already believed that we had the power to take care of what we want to take care of without nobody interfering with us.
You were used to working together and we each other, had each other because, back. Okay, right.
Yes, because we're not Christian. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have a group of people, whatever it is you believe in, if you're Yoruba, if you're Christian, if you're Meduneter, connect yourself with your tribe and raise your tribe up. And just like with when I used to belong to Mother Taylor's Temple before she passed away, we practice Yoruba, and then you have the Apan people, and you got the Meduneta people, right? And then we are separate communities, but then once or twice a year, we came together and brought all the houses together.
That's African culture, right? That's all the way African. Yeah.
You work with your individual people that believe what you believe, right? Because I can't say that I want to live in a community with Christians. Because they're going to be drinking liquor and eating pork. I ain't about to be bothered with that. I don't want my children to ever have that in their life. But whatever you do, build your community up. Be with people that are like you and come together and be self-autonomous. That's the main thing. Be in charge of yourself. So we had, in September, we opened up the land for 35 young people in their 20s and 30s, to come here and learn how to build houses out of clay. The housing market is bad for people. The millennials are still living at home because they can't afford an apartment. And so if you take your money and buy a little acre of land and learn how to build yourself a house out of clay, you ain't never going to need no air conditioning. And if you put a wood-burning stove in there, you ain't never going to need no heat. All right? And you live in the way humans were intended to live. So I sent you the flyer just now, but I'm going to try to read it to you.
I'm going to send it to Bridget Henry. We'll make sure we put it up. Okay.
Yeah. And so we did the firesider last night.
Okay.
The next one is January 18th, teaching natural cough syrup.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna teach aromatherapy steam on February 22nd.
Okay.
How to use aromatherapy to keep your lungs open.
Okay.
And then with people buy all the classes together, I'm doing a bonus on salve and tincture making.
Okay.
Because instead of people taking psychotropic medication or taking medicine for anxiety, you can tincture cannabis. And take 2 drops under your tongue and cure all your anxiety. So these are the things we want to do. We want to teach every home how to take care of themselves. We want to eat food that's grown close to where we are sleeping. We want to learn how to live in indigenous housing. We want to teach our children, not sitting in no classroom all day, but being outside learning the earth and the air and the wind. Because it was down here, the children were working and they had work boots on. And I told them when they got here, keep your shoes on while you are working on the work site. But as soon as the bell rings for lunch, take your shoes off. walk up to the hill where we have lunch, eat your lunch barefooted, take your break barefooted, and only put your shoes on when you are protecting your feet from the work site. Mm. Therefore, your body can become healed from the electromagnetic energy that is present in the earth. So this is what we want to do. We want to take our people back to the earth. There was one time we grew all the food that all Americans ate. And then the Klan ran us out of the South up into this concrete jungle we're living in now, and we need to go back to the earth.
Back to the earth. Interesting. Back to the earth movement. All right, family. Wow. Powerful. A lot was said. Some of the main points, diaspora family, is back to the earth, self-determination, self-autonomy, putting programming and institutions in place right now as we are actually witnessing the fall, some would say the fall of Babylon, the empire falling, powers being lost. But one thing that I guess brought out today is that we can do, and there are people doing that right now. Just because we may not hear about it, don't mean it's not being done. But we do need to organize and collab and unify. And we better be worse. And we can live the world in a system and a story that we want to. But I guess final words to the diaspora as we close out our show, Baba Bill and then Grandmother. Any final words?
No, I'm going to just say this again. I just want to thank y'all for this here opportunity. I mean, listen, there's so much that we can't talk about and so much to say. So I'm going to just close on this. Even in reference to, and I'm going to keep it local when we're talking about the government, right? You know, one reason that we don't get more than what we get is because we're not organized. You know, I mean, when we're talking about our water bills constantly going up, I mean, I'm using the water bills in terms of we paying as much for water as you paying for gas and electric, right? But it's hard to take 1,000 people down to City Hall, you know what I'm saying, in reference to what's good for all of us, right? So, you know, we have to be organized to force this government to give us more of what we pay for, right? So that's why we don't get a damn thing, because we just simply not organized. And that's why I'm saying that, you know, that's why we have to just organize on the levels that we can, right? So, you know, I'm as bad as I pray that I live long enough to see this system just totally demolished, then at the same time, then as long as this government is here and we here, then we have to prepare ourselves to organize to make sure that we get more from this here government. So I'm going to just close with that.
Thank you for all the work you do, Bob Bill, with our Black men and the organization you've done in protesting over the years. Grandmother, final words I'd ask for audience as we close out today's show.
I believe that we should sell our property in cities and transition our families and communities back to the country. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have a water bill, because I have a well.
Mm-hmm. My grandma always wanted to say, when the mothership comes, my children ain't there, I'm getting on, I'm leaving everybody. I'm leaving their ass.
I told them, I'm raising y'all to think forward for your people. But when the mothership comes, if y'all don't live the life that I trained y'all to live, I'm not waiting for y'all, I'm going.
You leaving this grandmother?
I'm leaving everybody. I'm gonna be y'all's bad. And I'm trying to teach y'all, but y'all want to learn.
We believe it. We hear you, grandmother. We hear you. We listen. Father Bill, thank you.
No, thank y'all. Appreciate it.
For joining. For the energy, for the round table, our diaspora family, you know, thank you so much for joining us our last show of the year. It has been an interesting year. It's been an amazing year. It's been as pains as joys, but we're going to 2025. We're going in blackout, y'all, okay? It's going to be a blackout. We are going to be able to do this. We are going to be able to organize. We're going to be able to collab. We are going to be able to clear our minds for those that want to and who want to disconnect on many different levels, to be self-autonomous, to be self-determined, as some of our greats like Marcus Garvey had a beautiful model to really begin to live for ourselves and to be owners of our life's narratives. Before we end the day, I just wanted to send out some love and some solidarity to our brothers and sisters that's behind these walls and these prisons scattered across the U.S. of A. plantations. Want to send some love to them. They are in the belly of the beast. Also want to send some love and solidarity to our brothers and sisters in the hoods, that are doing their own struggles and trying to make it. And of course, we don't want to forget those in Palestine. As of October 2023, 45,000, they say, have been killed. 1,700 Israelis have been killed. Of those 45,000 killed in Palestine, 6,000 were women, they say, 11,000 were children. Of those Israelis, 1,700 killed, 282 were women, 36 children. Folks, we want to send out solidarity to all those across of African descent across the diaspora. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Blackout, y'all, 2024, 2029. And as we go out, of course, the indigenous global artist, Mumu Fresh, a.k.a. Mamuna Youssef, daughter of Grandmother Walks on Water. She going to take us out, folks, because we going to the table. We bringing our own damn table. Let's eat.
Peace and blessings. Thank y'all. You, man. Thank
black
you.
Love and black power. Peace and blessings.
Black power.
take.